What happens when the person you vowed to love forever becomes someone you can barely stand? When the thought of coming home fills you with dread rather than anticipation? Thousands of couples wake up each day trapped in marriages that feel more like prisons than partnerships. They've tried everything, counseling, self-help books, heart-to-heart talks, even screaming matches, yet nothing seems to work. The relationship that began with such promise has descended into a valley of disappointment, frustration, and quiet desperation. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Most people stay in miserable marriages not because they want to, but because they feel they have no choice. Religious beliefs, concern for children, financial constraints, or fear of starting over keep them locked in relationships that drain rather than energize them. But what if the problem isn't the marriage itself, but the myths we believe about it? What if there's a way forward that doesn't involve either silent suffering or the devastation of divorce? Four myths trap desperate marriages. First, your happiness depends entirely on your spouse's behavior, making you a passive victim. Second, people cannot fundamentally change, so annoying habits are permanent. Third, you can either stay miserable or divorce. No other options exist. Fourth, some marriages, particularly yours, are beyond hope. These myths feel true because they're emotionally comfortable, absolving responsibility and permitting surrender. But they're lies. Your environment doesn't determine your state of mind. You interpret and respond based on choices. Two people stuck in traffic. One rages and honks, the other listens to audiobooks. Same situation, different responses. The difference isn't the traffic, it's how each person thinks about it. People can change when properly motivated. Your spouse won't change because you nag or because they should. They'll change when they have compelling reasons that matter to them. Understanding what drives your spouse's behavior gives you power to influence rather than control. You're not helpless, you have more than two options, and no marriage is hopeless as long as you're willing to try new approaches based on understanding rather than blame. Behind every frustrating behavior lies an unmet need. Understanding these needs transforms how you see your partner's most annoying habits. The most fundamental need is to love and be loved. When your emotional love tank runs empty, you feel isolated, explaining withdrawal after criticism or clinginess in feeling insecure. We also crave freedom, not to do whatever we want, but to make choices without constant control. This need often conflicts with our need for love, creating tension when one partner feels smothered and the other abandoned. Every person needs to make a meaningful impact. This drive explains workaholism, pouring energy into careers where they receive recognition while neglecting relationships where they feel inadequate. We need rhythm between work and play. When your spouse collapses on the couch, they're seeking restoration their nervous system requires. Perhaps most overlooked is our spiritual hunger for peace with something greater than ourselves. When this goes unmet, people feel a gnawing emptiness no success can fill. That husband who works late might be desperately trying to prove his worth. That wife who criticizes constantly might be expressing her unmet need for quality time. When you ask, "What need is my spouse trying to meet?" instead of, "Why are they being so difficult?" you open doors to solutions you never imagined possible. Living with someone who won't fulfill basic responsibilities, whether they can't hold a job, abandon household projects, or excel in one area while neglecting others, creates crushing emotional exhaustion. You feel like you're carrying adult life alone. Before fixing the problem, clarify what you're facing. What looks like total irresponsibility might be selective responsibility. They're highly responsible in areas they value while neglecting what matters to you. This doesn't excuse their behavior, but it suggests different solutions. Irresponsibility typically stems from four sources: following negative parental models, rebelling against overly responsible parents, developing self-centered attitudes from having few childhood responsibilities, or weaponizing irresponsibility to express anger or assert independence. Consider Dan, whose erratic employment stemmed from severe insecurity planted by an alcoholic father who constantly predicted failure. His anger issues repeatedly cost him jobs, prompting Michelle's mounting criticism, a vicious cycle. The breakthrough came when Michelle confronted Dan with loving firmness, took responsibility for her critical attitude, and committed to stand by him. Her encouragement gave Dan security to face his problems, leading to a new job and 2 years of counseling. The workaholic spouse prioritizes career success while contributing little emotionally to family. They miss children's milestones, earning professional respect while their spouse resents their absence. Jim exemplified this pattern. Driven by childhood insecurities, he climbed the corporate ladder but never felt satisfied. Everything changed when his wife, Amy, drove him to a retirement center and delivered her ultimatum. "I want you now, not in 27 years when our children won't know you and I'll be too old for sex. I'm tired of being a widow." Workaholics are driven by deep psychological wounds, childhood inferiority complexes that internalized messages like "you'll never make it," or conditional love that created adults who constantly seek approval through achievement. While receiving professional accolades, their distant family relationships leave their need for authentic love unmet. Some use excessive work to avoid emotional intimacy. Amy's approach combined affirmation and confrontation. She first changed her critical attitude to build Jim's emotional security, then delivered her carefully rehearsed ultimatum. They sought counseling, and Jim made radical changes, including finding a less demanding job. Depression darkens the sufferer's world while leaving their spouse feeling helpless. The depressed person experiences persistent sadness and negative thinking, while their partner struggles to understand why they can't simply snap out of it. Depression falls into three categories: physical illness depression, body withdrawing energy during recovery; situational depression, from painful life experiences like loss; and endogenous depression, from biochemical imbalances. Antidepressants help only if depression is biological, about a third of cases. Situational depression responds better to counseling. The ideal approach combines both. When supporting a depressed spouse, avoid dismissing their feelings. Instead, express support for counseling, offer to listen without judgment, maintain household responsibilities, watch for suicidal signs, and express belief in recovery. Processing grief is central to treating situational depression. When Sonia's husband William became depressed after his father's death, she recognized that talking facilitates grieving. Through gentle questioning, William shared memories and completed his grief work without falling into deep depression. Depressed people rarely take initiative. They feel overwhelmed. Your compassionate presence is crucial. With appropriate support, there is always hope. You've journeyed through the darkest valleys of marriage: irresponsibility, workaholism, depression, control, verbal abuse, silence, and infidelity. Perhaps you recognized yourself or your spouse in these pages. The question now is what you'll do next. Time alone doesn't heal troublesome behaviors. Waiting for your spouse to magically change guarantees failure. You must reject the myths keeping you trapped and embrace reality-based principles. You can choose your attitude regardless of circumstances. You can influence your spouse, though you cannot control them. People change when properly motivated. You have far more options than misery or divorce. The five love languages: words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch provide practical ways to express love your spouse can receive. Speaking your spouse's primary love language makes your expressions effective rather than empty. When you consistently fill your spouse's emotional love tank, you create the security necessary for addressing deeper issues. This path isn't easy. You may need help from a friend, pastor, or counselor. Seeking support shows maturity, not weakness. In a world treating marriage as disposable, choosing to stay and fight is a radical act of courage. Your desperate marriage doesn't have to stay desperate. The choice has been yours all along.